CliffCentral.com.
To get to you, to get to you.
Yes, it's Selena Gomez and Marshmallow with Wolves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Amanda likes this song. She's singing along the whole way.
Yeah, she's into it. But now, are her and Justin Bieber together again now?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's all we're going to say about it.
Yeah, no, sure. But actual news to talk about.
Yes. All right, let's do... All right. Do you want to do some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Remember where that comes from?
No.
No, you don't remember that?
Is it a cartoon? Is it an animated series?
No. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
This is her.
Oh. Right,
here she is.
Now go ahead. All right.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned this earlier. Let's get into greater detail, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it all went down at the Nando's and Daily Mavericks The Gathering in Sandton yesterday, where our former finance minister and ANC member of parliament, Pravin Gordhan, basically has named Cyril Ramaphosa as his guy. Cyril Ramaphosa, the deputy president of the
ANC. Who is this?
He is the deputy president of the ANC.
I'll talk about your mama and her mom for her.
This was a very dignified event. We're not talking about anyone's mothers.
He's endorsed him, basically.
He's endorsed him, saying that he believes that the economy could be put back on track if the deputy president is elected ANC president in December.
So what? What's this all about?
He says that the December conference has the power to change the country for better or worse. He supports Ramaphosa to take over at the ANC, essentially. And he also added that Ramaphosa has plans that will grow our economy.
Bitch, kiss my ass.
Oh, I thought we all wanted to grow the economy, though. Why are you so mad?
Yeah, why is she so mad?
Jeez, what a tough crowd.
By the way, that was Lindiwe Sisulu.
By the way, I've lost track of how many... contenders there are for this.
No, there's two. Don't fall for that.
So
there's two.
So Bozwe Limkhize, they're not in the running at all. Okay, Lindiwe.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
Right.
I'm sorry.
All right, sorry, Lindiwe. It's not for you.
All right. So basically, it's NDZ and Cyril Ramaphosa.
Yeah.
Those are the only two.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Pravin Gordhan is a Ramaphosa man, so that's the way it goes.
Okay, and Pravin said, we won't... How's this for a threat, like a veiled threat? If you vote for Cyril, we won't get downgraded. But I saw Fitch this morning. This is big news. Fitch decided not to downgrade us.
Hey, now.
Oh.
You know, Anthea was saying the other day, oh, it's inevitable. You know, Anthea, she's so miserable sometimes. So she said, oh, it's inevitable. No, Fitch are definitely going to downgrade us. Well, breaking news this morning. Fitch decided to keep us at, I think, triple B or whatever we were on before. They've said they're not going to punish us more. Not that they're trying to punish us or not punish us, but BB+. That's right. BB+. Fitch affirms South Africa's long-term foreign and local currency debt ratings at BB+ maintained a stable outlook.
Okay.
So that's good news. Probably because of Pravin yesterday.
Well, you can probably also add this to the good news because the Reserve Bank Governor, Lesetša Kganyago, yesterday announced that he is keeping interest rates unchanged. So, I suppose...
That's very good news, especially ahead of Christmas. And, you know, he says that petrol prices are going to go up. So, that's nice of him.
That's very nice of him. I mean, you know...
People can't take more of a strain than they're already taking. Please, they're about to break.
No, we
cannot.
And
I saw that Gedlehlekisa... was doing Gedlehlekisa things yesterday.
What does that mean?
He invited all the presidential hopefuls, even those also-rans. Sia showed me a picture. Let's see who's in this picture.
Those also-rans, what?
They're
never going to win. They're also-rans. They're those people who, you know, who cares in the Olympics who comes 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th? Nobody cares.
Okay.
Right?
Because I've never understood what that saying means.
They also-ran in the race, but nobody gives a shit.
Also-rans. I heard rans.
No, also rans.
Money.
So, okay, we've got in the front of the picture the three ladies, because, you know, the ANC is so good at patronizing, so they put the women front and center because they're a women's organization, but they don't really care about women because probably all those men in the back row have, like, done inappropriate things. We know at least three of them have.
Yeah.
So there's Lindiwe Sisulu, who's looking, like, stunning. I just wish she wasn't so evil. And there's Nkosi Sanatlamini Zuma, who...
beaming.
Shame, Gogo Maloy, as public protester on Facebook calls her.
Major smile on her face.
She looks happy. Because she knows she's got a, like, 50-50 chance, right? 50-50. What man does I say? 50-50.
Let's go
50-50. Yeah. So then there's her, then Balega. And Balega looks older than Kwazazana. And she's not meant to look older than her. Balega looks really not very happy. Because she's obviously like, ugh, I've been so totally fucked. Because remember, Getlehlekiza promised her Getlehlekiza things.
Can we make that a term?
It is.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
And let's give credit to Kantia Hunter, who's on Twitter. I don't always agree with her. Not that you need to say that every time. But this is, she's spot on. She said Getlehlekiza doing Getlehlekiza things. So that's the three ladies in the front. At the back is the worst shirt I've ever seen on Zweli Mkhize.
Oh, describe it.
It's... Oh, you try.
Oh.
I don't know how to describe that. It looks horrible.
Ooh. Oh,
it looks
no.
Like, it looks like about 23 Hardy Dawes threw up on a piece of fabric. And it dried and got crusty in different places. It's so bad.
Yeah, shame. And it looks like different shades of poo at different stages as well. It's like,
I'm feeling hell around junkies. People shit that's pissing and throwing up on the floor, smoking crack and cigarette in my hallway, and they're coming in my
house. Please, Lindiwe, please. We're busy talking about Zweli now. We've moved on.
This whole Mandela shirt.
There's Cyril. The Mandela shirt. Well, in this picture, Getlehlekiza and Zweli are both wearing like Madiba type shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They look like these two. Anyway. Cyril standing between the two of them. He is smiling like so broadly, like he's putting on the biggest smile. But you can tell it's so fake. It's such a fake smile. Like Cyril's that's a fake smile.
In there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we're breaking down this picture, Mr. President. But when you invite these people around to your house, people are going to know that they need to pay attention to the little things. Doesn't it look like Cyril's extra smiley?
It does.
He looks like that. You know, you buy a smiley, the sheep's head. He looks like that kind of smiley. Then next to him, yes, this poor Matthews Posa. He does not look happy to be there.
He actually looks kind of sad.
He's sad. It's sad. Shem.
He doesn't fit in there.
Shem. And then Jeff Radebe, who also doesn't look thrilled. Jeff Radebe's always had a job. Some of these people haven't had a job. Jeff always had a job in government.
But he's never, to me at least, in my not the best of knowledge mind, has never stood out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the president inviting them all over for dinner, that's very suspicious.
He's
such a creep. He's so slimy.
You have to wonder what the conversation around that dinner table involved.
They probably all
December.
You know what? Yeah. I think a lot of us, we think that they hate each other. Cyril and Kwazazana don't get along. I think all these politicians, they sit there and they go, these stupid people in this country, they're all so dumb. One of us is going to win. And don't worry, Kwazazana. Don't worry, Cyril. We'll share their stuff.
Hmm.
Their stuff. We'll take half their stuff and we'll share it between us. Let's laugh some more. These morons. What a bunch of stupid people. South Africans are so dumb.
Yes, you know, they're not very smart.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, some of them, they think that we care about them. You know, I was talking to Michael Halim, my legal counsel. He says we can keep these things going in the court forever.
They're all laughing. They're laughing at us. They think we're such idiots. One of the people in this room are going to be in charge of the country.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt here.
For
2.3 seconds.
All right.
Okay.
And say they are amazing people. They have great credibility. They really do want to do good work for the country.
Fuck you! I don't want to listen to a loser! Shut the fuck up! I hate you fucking cocksucking bitch!
Okay.
Let's just go with me here for 2 seconds. Why would you accept the invitation to this dinner?
No, but I mean, to me, this doesn't even sound like... This to me sounds, it looks and sounds staged. The fact that they're all there, the fact that, you know, there were all these pictures taken, it's all staged. So there was an understanding that, listen, you have to be here. So even if you didn't want to be there, that was beside the point.
Matthew's poster does not want to be there.
Neither does Jeff. But I mean, they're all there, which, you know,
it is kind of funny that they forced them.
It was the expectation of the night.
Lindy, were anything else? I mean, what did you say to Nkosazana when she came and sidled up next to you in the photograph?
Move out the way, I won't throw these torpedoes at that bitch. Move out the way. You fucking cocksucker.
Thank you very much. It's enough from you.
Yeah, please. That's all right.
I
knew
she was so angry.
It's a lot for a Friday. Jeez. Okay.
What else?
So the Industrial Development Corporation, or the IDC, have apparently ordered Oak Bay of Guptaland to pay back 293 million rand over share price manipulation. Ooh.
Really?
Yes. Yesterday, Minister of Economic Development Ibrahim Patel tabled a written reply in the National Assembly where he explained that following legal advice, the IDC had rescinded the restructuring agreement between itself, Oak Bay Resources, and other entities in the Oak Bay Group. So back in 2010, there had been an agreement to lend the Oak Bay Group 250 million rand, and that this was restructured in 2014, after which Oak Bay listed on the JSC. But it was reported that a Singapore entity bought Oak Bay shares just before the company's listing, using money lent to them by the Gupta family. After an investigation was conducted by advocate Jeff Budlender, the IDC has now cancelled its agreement with Oak Bay. They are now being accused of share price manipulation, and as a result, the IDC have ordered them to pay 293 million rand.
By midnight.
Ooh, that is a big EFT.
I wonder if they won't pay. No. They're the Guptas. They don't pay for anything. We paid for their wedding. Have you forgotten? And we let them land at our National Air Force Base. What do they call them? National Key Point.
Yeah. Mm.
They landed a whole bunch of guests at their wedding at a National Key Point. These guys aren't going to pay. Don't be ridiculous. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I've withdrawn my fingers. As you can see, my hand ahead, yeah.
What a creep. He's such a creep.
As you can see, my hand, yeah.
So a lot of people have been asking the question, where will Robert Mugabe go to stay? There's at least one option available to him.
Mm-hmm.
After Zimbabwe's defense forces basically confirmed that both the former president and his wife, Grace, have been granted immunity from prosecution, which means that the couple will be allowed to remain in the country and nobody will touch them, nobody will bother them, nobody will even knock on their door to ask for a cup of sugar.
Shout as loud as they like from Washington or from London or from any other quarter. Our people, only our people will decide and no one else.
All right, well, clearly they have, and they're going to let you stay.
Yeah.
Shame, shame, shame we say. Shame, shame, shame we say.
Mm-hmm. He's so doddery. I don't think he knows he's in Zimbabwe. I think it doesn't
make a difference to
him. I think he thinks he's in Kazakhstan, and it wouldn't make any difference to him. The guy is, he's out of it. Have you seen how he falls asleep while they're talking to him? He starts nodding his head. He was busy about to sign his resignation the other night, and he's sitting there. And you know how when you're really tired, I'm sure it happens to a lot of us, you know when you're sitting at your desk sometimes, and you actually just, your head goes ka-dunk.
Mm.
Especially when you're studying. I remember this happened to me a lot when I was a student and the lecture's boring. And you go, ugh, and your head just falls. And it happens on planes too, except you can never find a good resting position. That's how he is. His head just falls. And the guy's finished. He's finished. You could put him in like one of those, you know, those fake towns they make for the movies.
The ones that they construct.
Wisteria Lane.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
Where the housewives are. And you put him in Wisteria Lane, and you have actors playing the part of all his cabinet ministers.
Oh, what was that?
The guy wouldn't know the difference. I'm telling you now, he would be completely pulled into it. He'd be like, where is Chiwenga? Bring him here. I need to descend the army into the Congo. And then Chiwenga would come in, or an actor who looks something like, and you can't see very well. He's had how many cataract operations? So, Chiwenga, is that you? Yes, yes, Mr. President. We need to immediately.
And done.
Yeah.
And then you can come back later and finish the sentence, make a cup of tea, and you have the queen. You have someone dress up as the queen, because Mugabe loves the queen.
Oh.
And he loves her. Like, when they took away his knighthood, he blamed the prime minister, not the queen.
Oh.
Even though the queen took it away. You know.
Okay.
He loves the queen. So you have her dress up. You have someone dress up as the queen. And, you know, those lookalikes.
Mm. Hey, Mr. Mugabe, I've decided to put you in my cabinet and to make you an earl.
Oh, Your Majesty, I am so happy in my dotage to have your seal of approval.
He'd love that. The two of them would get along, like the actress and him. He'd say, come, let us go, and I'll swing you in the garden.
Oh,
on a swing and push her around. I'm so glad Grace is gone. He wouldn't know. Put him on a fake film set. I'm telling you now, the guy would love it.
Just recreate.
Let him address the UN every day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
When these capitalist gods of carbon burp and belch their dangerous emissions, it is we, the lesser mortals of the developing sphere, who gasp, starve, sink, and eventually die.
Oh. Okay. I wonder how many languages he speaks.
A lot.
A lot?
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
No, he is a smart guy.
I mean, in his time, you know, now he's another 93-year-old. And I don't care how smart you were when you were in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. By 93, you forgot. It starts going backwards.
Well, the defense forces have assured that his safety will be protected in his home country as part of the deal that led to him stepping down. So those... are the reports coming out of Zimbabwe's Defense Force. Nice. Nobody will be touching Robert or Grace.
No, well, that, you know what? That's civilized. I don't love Robert Mugabe. You know that, right? But I don't think the guy should be hounded out of the country and, you know, chased like a wild animal. Right, Mubs?
Yeah, look, the argument is that, it's far too late now. He is 93 years old after all. Like, how much longer does he still have to go? Just let the man kind of wither away.
So they've given him immunity from prosecution, huh?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
You want some messages here? Lots of people want to talk to you this morning, to all of us. First of all, Ramon from the Renegade Report, our award-winning show.
Ooh.
The key to understanding consumption is something called time preferences, he says. It's a trade-off between consumption today and consumption in the future. Most people value something today rather than the value of the same thing in the future.
This is true.
Were you burping and belching
my carbon emissions while you choke and starve and die?
The burp and the belching.
Right. Isn't that great? I mean, what a lunatic. Today is my last day at work, says someone else. I start a new job on Monday. I'm feeling good.
Oh, okay. No, I thought they meant that last day they're going on holiday. I was almost going to be mean.
Someone said to me, there's a, you know, my Spark drone I was talking about earlier? There's one on sale at Dion for $699.
Still not considering it?
No.
Okay.
I know someone on the panel at Life Estimeni. This is a very sad message I just got now. They found paper and plastic bags in the patient's stomachs because they were so hungry. Can you imagine the desperation? Sure, that's horrible. Oh, my God. I thought I felt bad about it before, but every single piece of information I get about this makes me feel worse. It's been a while not listening to you guys. I'm glad to be back. That's from Makabe. Morning, guys. I just want to give Mubs a quick tip to make extra Madima money. Bottle juice and sell it in Santon. It'll sell very fast, Mubs. That's what they say.
Can I taste your juice?
Actual juice, then.
Yeah, like orange juice and stuff. I'm sure they mean, you know, that's what they mean.
Yeah.
A new idea for a game? Stick a VR set on Sia and film the reaction while he's playing a horror game. That'll be great content.
I agree.
I've purposefully never used anything VR. I've tried it once. It didn't go well. Yeah.
Because you imagine, like, life is terrifying for you. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you were in a VR game where there were actual monsters.
No.
I'd love to see you as an actor in Strange Things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I'd love you to be in that show.
You know, because we were actually having...
You and Millie Bobby Brown.
We were sort of having this conversation the other day about, like, PlayStations and games and, you know, that whole fad of whether you were into Game Boys or Xboxes. I never got into it because my cousin used to like Call of Duty and he had a projector in his bedroom. And he once played Call of Duty so loud and he closed me into his room.
And you had post-traumatic stress disorder?
Oh, with the projector on, goodbye. Game over, shut down.
You thought you were in war?
I was done.
You were in a war situation.
That was...
Did you scream?
Right.
Did you scream?
No, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
All right, Gareth and Thea explained the origins of the name Black Friday last year. Well, see how smart our listeners are? I don't remember this, but they do. It's when the retailers sell off their old stock to make room for the new Christmas stock. It takes their bottom line on the books from red to black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. And everyone wants their books in the black, trust me. You know, I know a lot of black people get very pissed off because, like, all the bad things are black. Yeah. But this is one black you want to be. You don't want to be red. In the red in your books. Yes, that's not good. Also, I mean, you know, white. In the white means nothing's been written down. You want numbers in the black. All right. Black Friday should be a clearance sale, but retailers stock up just so they can sell. I cancelled my TV license online. There's a form to fill in. My reason was that I gave the TV to my domestic worker with an address in Diepsloot, so it's cancelled. But they still send me threats and early cancellation bonus offers, even Black Friday offers. It all sounds like a scam to me. Just ignore them. Okay, my parents pay their TV license. Someone used my dad's ID fraudulently because he'd paid his TV license. Hey, yeah. any reason we don't have to pay those idiots, I'm happy. Hey, guys, I can't be blacklisted. You cannot be blacklisted for not paying a TV license. It's a tax, not a fee. Huh. Okay. Greer says, if you get caught drinking while watching your TV and you're over the limit, can you? They have your TV license taken away from you.
Oh.
No, Gareth, Fitch kept our rating. The downgrade will come from Moody's and or S&P. Uh-oh.
Oh, so we celebrated a little too early.
Well, I didn't celebrate. I just said let's not, commiserate yet. Okay. Good morning. I want to give Mubs a quick tip to make. That's the juice. Sorry. I was listening to yesterday's podcast. You guys go on about peeing in showers at gym. You do realize that after working out, people wash their sweaty asses in there. There's shit and ass hair and all falls into the shower. Never mind the wet dream come that they wash off their hat. And oh, my God, really? A bit of pee floating past you in the shower gutter should be the least of your worries. That is filthy, Richard, and you should be embarrassed to have sent that message.
You know, out of the sheer fear of being naked in front of someone that I'm not having sex with, I don't shower at the gym. But then the gym is also like 3.5 minutes drive from where I stay. So I gym, and then I quickly drive home, and then I shower there.
Humans are gross.
Carl says, bullshit, Mugabe should die in The Hague. I don't care how old he is. Mugabe should be held to account. There should be repercussions. Why are we all okay with this guy being let off the hook? Fair enough. I mean, I just don't think, you know, it's going to give you the satisfaction you hope it will.
Mm.
Why wasn't Atul or Tony invited to that dinner of Gedleyihlekisa's? Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Look, maybe they were there. They just didn't want to be in the picture.
Oh.
And Woody just clarifying, no, I said Mabali must bottle her juice. And then Greer also says if you... Oh, God. Why is this thing repeating? I hate this screen. And then it's, you know, I'm just reading messages. I'm not going to read these messages anymore. Call me instead. Then we can hear your voice. Okay. All right. John T's going to come in and join us just now. We're going to talk to him about his ayahuasca experience. If you've got a sex question, maybe this morning's a good time to take advantage of John T. He's got a whole sex show planned for later, sex talk. But, you know, I don't want to interrupt his show later. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a question that's been on your mind for a long, long time, you can call us this morning. And who knows, he might be able to answer your question and help you out. Anything else in the news?
Look, you know, Black Friday is now here and Christmas is fast approaching. And this means that millions and millions of shoppers shoppers will be pouring into retailers all over the world. Now, Gareth, I know that there is one thing that particularly gets you upset when in a shopping center. It is the slow walkers.
Well, it's better them than a stampede. You know?
Yes.
If I had to choose.
Now, there is at least one shopping center in the UK that is attempting to deal with the frustration of walking behind slow walkers. For some people, it gets them very upset. One shopping center is hoping to keep everyone happy by introducing a fast lane. A fast walking lane while shopping.
Oh, please.
Lakeside Center in Essex has rolled out a 220-meter red line around its complex, which looks like it could fit at least three people side by side.
I want to walk around with one of those air horns, and when people are walking too slowly, you just hit that sound, and then they'll jump out of your way. Wouldn't that be great? Because they're slipping along, looking in the windows of every shop, and you're standing behind them. And you're like, come on. And you just pull out your air horn, and you just hit that air horn. I love that. That I would like.
Apparently, we have an average walking speed in shopping centers, which drops at around the Christmas period.
Oh, because people are slow and they got time.
Because people are slow and they're also distracted, you know, by all the retailers trying to grab their attention.
And
so
the tinsel.
So it slows us down.
And the Boney M songs. All right, well, here's the sound that you need in the shops with you. When people are too slow, you turn this on. Yeah. Attention shoppers, you're slow and you're blocking the whole shopping mall up, and your ankles are now so fat that they've fallen over your feet. Get out of the goddamn way. Mabali Moloi wants to shop and you are slow.
Yeah, that's a good point to add. Is the reason, another reason that we're slow is because we're all fatter. So we walk. No, really. Like,
really?
Yes. Everywhere, all over the world, we become fatter. So.
Attention, fat shoppers! Get out of the way for Mabali Moloi. She's coming through. She will smash her trolley against your ankles if you do not get out of her way. Have you ever done that?
Not on purpose.
Have you done that deliberately?
No, never deliberately. No, I would not.
This is the safe space. We are not here.
I would never do that deliberately.
You've just clipped someone's
I've done it by mistake. When someone suddenly like come to a halt, you know how people, they're walking and then they just stop inexplicably? And then I've gone, and I always go, sorry. Because, I mean, it's a horrible thing to do.
Mm. But you've really...
But if I had a bulldozer...
well, then it wouldn't be my accident.
All right, so what have they done? They've done research?
The research that they have is that our walking speeds in shopping centers decreases at around the Christmas period, and it makes sense because, as I said earlier, it's because we get distracted, right? Mm-hmm. You're walking around, there's all the Christmas decorations, there are all the things that you're thinking about buying. You want to check them out. It's not like a typical Monday afternoon where you're rushing to just get the groceries. So, in parts of the UK, some of the shopping centres are introducing fast lanes. And the point of this is for people to walk at a quicker pace than the slow walkers who tend to aggravate and irritate the rest of us. It's a solution.
Someone says here, why don't you give out your 011 number? It gets more listeners to call into the show. Well, you call on 0861-555-189 from anywhere. If you're overseas, it's +27 861-555-189. It's really not hard. I mean, in fact, you're too low a grade to listen to us. Please go and listen to something else. Oh, no. You are too stupid to listen to CliffCentral.com. There's lots of radio stations that would be welcoming you with open arms. Thank you.
My goodness.
Bring Jonty in here. Let's get Jonty Searle in here. Jonty Searle is the co-host of, well, the host of, he's the guy who started Sex Talk here on CliffCentral.com. He's a sexologist. There's nothing he doesn't know about the woman or the man's body, how they can bring pleasure to themselves. He would have become a rabbi if you listened to the last time we spoke to him. And he decided, no, this is way more fun. And he knows stuff that none of us know. And he's here to share his incredible knowledge. But we want to talk to him particularly this morning about his experience in an ayahuasca retreat that he did What was it, like 3-4 weeks ago now? How are you, Jonty? Nice to see you, man. It's very good to have you here so early in the morning.
It's cool to be up so early.
Yeah, I know.
It's cool to be up.
So how's your week been so far?
It's been an interesting week, thank you.
Oh, tell me why interesting.
Interesting clients in my practice.
Have you done yoni massages this week?
I have done, yes. Okay. Just one.
Okay. What else did you do?
It's been a week of people struggling with a lot of relationship issues.
So people come to you almost like they would to a therapist as well. Because some of the problems in their relationships have to do with sex and physical intimacy and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, and sex and relationship are very linked.
Now, I know we make a lot of fun of sex talk because it's a salacious, you know, show, and there's a lot of subject matter there that is titillating. But really, what I admire about you is that you treat sex the way that someone might treat a business meeting. And I don't mean in a clinical and boring way. I mean like you're passionate about it, you care about it, but it's treated seriously. You take it seriously as if it's a profit and loss situation. Because if people aren't having good sex lives, they really are running at a loss.
Absolutely, in every area of their life, health, business, relationship, work, creativity, it impacts on every aspect of our lives.
Now, if someone isn't having any sex at all, let's say you're celibate, Do we have research that shows that that's bad for you?
It's not bad. It's not good. the reasons are what's important. So if you're making a choice to be celibate, if it's because you have a fear of relationship, a fear of intimacy...
That's obviously bad.
Yeah. If you're making a choice that you choose not to express your sexual energy, that's a different story. Personally, I wouldn't agree with that, but the reasons become important.
Okay. What we've had a lot of discussions in the last couple of weeks, and before we get into the ayahuasca stuff, there's some sex stuff we need to get out there. What is it with all these guys in Hollywood that we hear about in the news in the last while? I know you've kind of addressed this on Sex Talk as well, but these Harvey Weinsteins, you've got to explain to me how an unattractive man like that, what he's doing when he walks out in a bathrobe and he jerks off in front of a girl, a beautiful actress. What's happening there? Like psychologically, sexually, can you help me understand why anyone would think that was acceptable behavior? And what does he expect to happen? Like, does he really think she's going to go, oh, that's the best thing I've ever seen. I just love you so much, Harvey. What can I do to pleasure you?
There's a few things. The first is that a lot of people are not taught what it is to be a man in today's world, what that means from a sexual point of view. The masculine energy. We don't have a lot of male role models in our world who are strong in business terms, in politics,
but
in religion.
You know, a lot of people would argue, but men everywhere are like showing their might and they're strong.
No, they're not showing that they're strong. They're actually showing that they're weak and manipulated.
Okay, explain that a little more.
They're not creating a space of masculine safety for people. So one of the things that a man does for the people in his life, his relationship, is you create a space of safety. Look at what you've done here. You've created a space that it is safe for people.
Created a lunatic asylum.
Yeah, besides that. But it's a space for people to walk in and be lunatics, but be authentic lunatics.
So you feel safe here. So
that's right.
So what you, in other words, when you are integrated in your masculinity, you don't make people feel unsafe. You're meant to make them feel safe and able to express themselves and able to be themselves without judgment.
That's it. And then there's the money and power that these guys have, which they think makes absolutely everything okay when it doesn't.
Okay, what is he getting out of it? Because I understand what he should be doing, because that's what most men should get over themselves and stop being pests and interfering with everybody. But what is he getting out of behaving like this badly? What's he doing when he's disintegrating like this?
It's an ego fulfillment.
What, to jerk off in front of a girl?
Yeah, it's a little boy who was never fully satisfied as a man, and it's a little boy behavior that's coming out in a sexual way.
Wow. So he's stuck.
In being a little boy. And a lot of men are emotionally. At some point in our lives, something traumatic tends to happen. We tend to get emotionally stuck at a certain age. So we have these bodies of men. We have these lives of men. But emotionally, we're these stunted creatures acting out as little boys. They've never owned their sex, their genitals, their cocks. They've never owned the power of that. It's never been connected to their hearts and their minds. And there's no respect in it for themselves or someone else.
Externalized.
Totally.
When you say that they've forgotten to, or they are not being taught to be men anymore. Did somebody forget to teach them? I don't, like, what went wrong?
Yeah, I think.
Or have they never been taught to be men since day one?
No, they've never been taught. They've never been taught that it's okay to have feelings, for example. How do you express anger in a way that's appropriate, that's acceptable? How do you feel? How do you talk? How do you ask for what it is that you want sexually? How do you go into your sexual desires and your fantasies, even the ones that are socially unacceptable, and own those and say, yes, this is mine. Understand it's okay to express that. It's not okay to express this, because that's contractive and that's destructive.
Could you go and advise people like Harvey Weinstein for money? Like,
fuck a shitload of money, yes.
Okay, what, okay, now that's that. Why doesn't this happen? Women don't do this.
Well, it happens, but not as much, and not in that way. And as a generalization, women are more emotionally connected. But the opposite end of the spectrum then is that women are become more sexually suppressed. So our society has made it okay for a man to behave in a sexually open way, but it's not okay for a woman because she's a slut and a whore. So if you and I go out and we have lots of sex, we know Sia thinks about it lots, but we have lots of sex and we are heroes and studs. And if Mabs goes and have lots of sex, then she's a slut and a whore.
I'll do it anyway.
Good for you.
She's not. Yep. That doesn't.
Good for you.
No. She's not bothered by that at all.
She doesn't wait for Christmas to bring the ho ho holiness of it all.
But I think with a lot of women, that realization starts coming as they get older.
Yeah.
They start caring less about what the men think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what the other women think, because that's also part of it, right? It's like other women who say, "Oh, careful of her. She'll steal your husband."
Yeah, women judge other women much more than other men or men do.
Yeah.
What is it about the guys, though, that they use power and money? You said earlier that it's because they think they can get away with anything.
Yeah.
But are most men predisposed to that kind of behavior if they become powerful, or is it powerful men? Because, you know, there might be an element of, like, what makes these ambitious guys successful that also makes them creepy pervs and sexual misfits.
Yeah, because they're not integrated into themselves.
But then how do they do well in life? Because surely it would manifest in other places too?
Well, it does. It manifests somewhere. But if the drive for success is so strong and you put so much energy into it, then fair chance it's going to happen.
Because I'm trying to think of, like, all the leaders and the great men, and I don't always mean great as in nice people. I mean, like, the people who changed history, the people who conquered empires. None of these people were monogamous, sexually integrated, sensible human beings. None of them were balanced. John F. Kennedy, Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, none of these people were totally good, balanced human beings. No. They were all whack jobs.
To achieve that...
Donald Trump.
To achieve that, you have to go beyond a level of right and wrong that most of us kind of adhere to.
Really?
So in other words, are you suggesting, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so throw them out if you don't like them. Are you suggesting that there's an extraordinary amount of psychopathy and narcissism in most of these people who break the rule and make history?
To a degree, yes. I mean, somebody once wrote, I don't remember who, that if anybody actually wanted to be president of a country, immediately that should be the disqualifying factor. But yes, there is.
I mean, our president, Robert Mugabe, Shaka Zulu. You think about all these people. They all had some... There was something like Shaka had this mommy complex. Our president's a philanderer. Yeah. We know this. I don't know about Bob sexually, but there's probably some weird shit going on there.
Man,
absolutely. Donald Trump, we know, right? There's Marla Maples and
there's no integration into the fullness of who they are. And it's possible to be whole in that way. Certain people have.
So, I mean, are these alpha males and then the rest of us are beta males if we behave ourselves?
I don't know that I'd say that because...
I think
it's possible.
Like,
I mean,
for a guy, now this is where we get confused, right?
Yeah.
As a guy then, if you want to be the best... Do you have to be a douchebag like these guys?
No, you don't. I mean, look at a guy like Richard Branson. I don't know all the details of his life.
Yeah.
But he comes out as a really balanced whatever that means, because that's its own interesting discussion.
I'm sure he's had affairs and things.
Well, he might very well have, but often the more that we think we can get away with, the more that
we
will, yeah.
Wow. All right, let's talk ayahuasca, because we could talk about this stuff all day. You seem to be so clear on these things. It makes so much sense when you say it. Hey, Mubs, we've been umming and ahhing about this stuff for like weeks, and Jonty's just going, there it is. That's what you need to know.
Well, I mean, Jonty knows things that we obviously haven't learned throughout the years that he has specialized in.
So what kind of things do people come to you with? They say, oh, well, you know, our sex life is not going so well. How can you help us?
Yeah, it's some of it's sexual technique. We don't know enough about what to do.
Do you show them how?
Yeah.
We're bored.
Yeah, we're bored. So the biggest sexual problem in long-term relationships is boredom.
Boredom.
Yes.
Because people do the same thing in the same way.
So what do you suggest? Should they start with toys?
No, they learn things like expanded orgasm, sensual massage, oral techniques, tantra, things like that.
Okay.
And then a lot of people come because they don't have intimacy, they don't have connection, painful sex, men with early ejaculation. And some people are just looking to explore their sexuality, the connection between sex and spirituality, possibilities.
Hmm.
So it's a beautiful range of things.
Are we talking white people, black people, old people, young people, rich people, poor people, everybody?
Normally from about 30, 35 upwards.
Okay.
Because before that you think either the problems are not there or they'll go away by themselves. They're there from the time people start having sex. More black people, which is fantastic because
in so many
of the black communities, people haven't been able to talk about these things openly.
Yes. Yeah,
for so
conservative,
long.
Right?
Yeah.
Sort of like the same problem in the Afrikaans community.
And an enormous difference between black men and women, where black women are waking up more and want more, and a lot of black men are holding on to these traditional ideas and spaces that they have.
Ha! Huh.
Shame.
Yeah, it is. Because people could be so much happier and more fulfilled. But you're right.
Shame. All right, tell me about the ayahuasca experience. This is not your first rodeo.
It was my second.
Okay.
My second.
When was your first one?
It was about 6 weeks before.
Oh, so you did two in reasonably quick succession.
Yeah, this is a whole new world for me.
All right. What we know so far, Jonty, and this is where you can fill in the blanks for us, because you've had a lot of experiences, a lot of experiences most of us never have, right? Because you're an explorer.
Yes.
Okay. The first time you went, I want you to describe that, explain how it differed from the second time. But what we already know is that this is not a getting high at a rave situation. This is not a recreational drug. This is something that people do to have a spiritual experience.
Yeah, it's spiritual, it's learning, it's healing. So I'd met Nathan Roth. You did an interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
Felt comfortable enough to go and explore this. My girlfriend, Chantal, has been into plants and plant medicine for a while.
Right.
We've been talking about it. The time was right.
Okay, so the two of you walked down the garden path together, hand in hand.
We drove down the path to Magaliesburg.
Okay, so what happens?
So it's a weekend at a center.
Okay.
Very welcoming, very friendly. There's a whole week of preparation, of dietary preparation.
You can't eat meat?
No meat, no sugar, no salt, not a lot of dairy. So you kind of, it's almost like a detox and you're getting your body ready.
Good.
But the spiritual aspect to that is it's a spiritual preparation.
Okay.
You're kind of turning a little bit inwards. What's your intention with
sure.
it? There's a purpose. So we arrive there. Everybody's very friendly. There's an area where we do the ceremony. There's a big fire pit in the middle.
Is there a big, like, cooking cauldron?
In the kitchen, yes.
like one from Asterix and Obelix.
Yeah, so Nathan and his team have been preparing the stuff. It's made of different vines, different plants in a very specific mixture. And it's a very sacred journey to prepare it because there's intention and purpose involved.
Okay.
In it. So there's discussion before the ceremony, safety procedures, and they create an incredible space of safety because if that safe space is there, then you can go into the journey that you need. And they do that phenomenally. So, you know, as a teacher on workshops, and especially with sexuality, I'm incredibly aware of that safety. And these guys do it magnificently.
Because mm-hmm. You're always worried, you know, that you're going to totally zone out,
yeah.
that something's going to go wrong, that you're going to fall and break your head, or that you're going to throw up all over somebody, or whatever the case may be.
And these guys are amazing. They really are. And subsequently, we've heard about a lot of experiences that obviously haven't been so good.
All right.
Because it's a bit of a bandwagon at the moment. Everybody's kind of jumping.
Everybody, it's very trendy at the moment to be doing ayahuasca.
So we start with all that, and the rules are very clear. Like once the ceremony starts, you're in silence. There's no phones. You're given plenty help where the toilets are, things like that.
All right.
And then you drink in. So you get a cup of the ayahuasca. It tastes pretty disgusting.
What does it taste like? Can you compare it with anything? Is it bitter?
It's bitter. It's kind of earthy. The two different ceremonies, there was quite a different taste, but it's not pleasant. It's not fun by any means.
All right.
So you drink it, you get a little piece.
How much do you have to drink?
It was kind of, it was probably about...
Like an espresso cup?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that.
Do you just knock it back like a shot?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And then you get a little piece of apple to take the taste out of your mouth.
Right.
You have water next to you. You go and you lie down on your nest that you make.
Nest.
And then... And then
Mums, you got to do this. Come on, let's go and do this.
And then you wait. And it starts to happen, and it happens differently for everybody, and it happens differently every time. So very often it begins with some kind of nausea that comes up. That can get pretty hectic.
Do you throw up?
Yes, and part of it is. But it's not a hectic thing, but you feel so good once that's happened.
Oh.
And inside all of our bodies, there's crap from the way that we live that needs to come out.
So if I, say, starved myself 24 hours before...
Mm.
Would that help? Because I am terrified of losing control of my bowels, throwing up all over myself or the next person.
No, it doesn't happen like that. That's a myth. You are in control.
Okay.
And if you open your eyes...
You're not like a beast of the field.
No, it's not like that. And these...
okay, all right.
And the people who are there to help this are amazing. You just kind of... They are so aware. And if they think you're in trouble, they're there like that. And they help you. And some people did throw up a lot, others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And but then it's done.
Mm.
And then this amazing journey starts. So for me, it was a very... I saw a light show with my eyes closed that I cannot begin to describe. The colors, the patterns, the fireworks.
Did you get... Were you in communication? This is what a lot of people say, is like you talk to God or you talk to the universe or there's a universal consciousness.
I was definitely in communication with something.
That can was you
much
describe
more
it?
Of me. No, I can't. It was a feeling of connection and of being a part of life in a way that I have never experienced before. Of actually knowing that, but deep inside. Not an intellectual knowing.
So chemically, let me help with this because I've done a lot of reading about this stuff. I'm fascinated by neurochemistry and neurobiology and all
that
stuff.
Fascinating, this whole field.
That's an ingredient in the ayahuasca. It's a chemical called dimethyltryptamine.
Yes, DMT.
Which looks, in a molecular sense, exactly like serotonin, except it's got an extra oxygen where the serotonin has a nitrogen.
And that's the key to it, that one extra molecule.
Sorry, other way around. Nitrogen is in the DMT, and the oxygen's in the serotonin.
So it's one extra molecule, and it allows you to access more of your mind than you have
before. Your synapses and your nerves communicate there's dopamine and serotonin that's going through them all the time. That's what fires up your nervous system. That's what gives you thoughts. That gives you motor control, sense, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what it does is that the DMT fools the neurons into thinking that it is serotonin, but it unlocks a whole lot of other stuff.
And it's the combination of the two vines and the two plants that make that possible, because on their own they don't do that. So it's been used in South
ancient.
America.
It's ancient, right. And, something I've been doing for years.
And since then, we've subsequently done some learning and some research with Nathan that other parts of the world have similar...
Here in Africa, acacia bark.
And ibogaine is a big
ibogaine
one
in West Africa.
In Egypt. So there's a lot
ancient
of,
Egypt. The priestly class used to make this stuff.
So it's been around. So the first journey that I had was incredibly peaceful. I don't have a great memory of it, but I came back from it feeling absolutely so connected to life with this incredible desire to live a life of love. But not love as an airy-fairy thing, not this like, oh, I want to be love kind of thing.
Not kumbaya.
No. It was a real practical thing to take every moment and say, where am I loving in this and where am I not?
Wow.
And that becomes this.
Never felt like that in my life.
This incredible internal growth, because you see when you're not.
Yeah.
It's like yesterday afternoon, I had a whole screaming fight with MTN on the phone about contracts. And
yeah.
It was not a moment of love.
No.
But the awareness of what I was doing.
So it stays with you.
It's a long, it opens a process of growth and learning. And this is where some people kind of go wrong. You think you're going to go and do this once and all your problems are solved.
No.
Fuck no. It opens you to a world of work because it confronts you with yourself. So if there are ego issues, if there are insecurities, it is going to put them in your face like you cannot believe.
Is that why so many people struggle with it?
Yeah. And afterwards, so the last journey that I did, which was kind of a...
But it ultimately is a positive move forward.
If you do the work with it.
In other words, it's not going to take you regressively backward.
No, no. So the last journey that I did...
Because here's the problem. I'm sorry to bring... Because I love this. Everything you've said so far sounds amazing, and I do want to experience this. My worst fear is that it will upset my brain chemistry.
No, it will enhance
and
your
make
brain.
Me and suddenly open me up to things like depression, which I have no understanding
of. No, if it's not there, it's not going to.
Okay.
So the last journey that I did, I got this incredibly clear message of you don't have to suffer anymore. Firstly, you've suffered enough. Secondly, you never have to suffer in the first place. There was a belief that we've kind
message.
Of been given. But since then, Gareth, I have to tell you, almost every day I am faced with saying, what are the choices I am making in this situation that are taking me away from that love and putting me into that space of
suffering.
Separation and suffering to some extent? In my relationship, in my work, in every aspect of my life.
And has it made your life better?
It has, because it has opened my thinking to look at things in a way that I never have before. So I've always explored consciousness and growth, and this has taken this to a new level. There's an amazing guy called Tom Chi. I told you about him last week.
Yeah.
He gives an incredible talk about how knowledge is the enemy of learning. Because when we're in a place of knowledge, all that we're doing is repeating something that we know. We don't learn because
that
we just
quote.
Do what it is
that,
that we do. This starts to put you much more in the place of learning, where you see things differently. Your perspective shifts. You become so much more aware of what you're doing, of what you're thinking, of how you're doing this.
So because one can never predict how they will react to this experience, do you know of any accounts where people have suffered negatively?
Yes.
Okay. So there is that risk.
Yeah. And part of that is your struggle with it. If you surrender to it, it becomes an amazing thing. But we struggle. So because it magnifies what's happening within you.
Yeah.
So it just shows you so much of who you are. You're confronted incredibly with yourself when you surrender to that. But think of the lives that we lived, the experiences that we have had. A lot of people have had a lot of pain in their lives. A lot of people are depressed, are addicted, and it's becoming amazing in helping treat that and change it. But it's going to bring the stuff up first. So you have to do the work with it.
Yeah, like my motivation, I think, might be a little bit different. I understand that a lot of people would do this for a healing or for a greater self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
I would like to know more. To me, it would unlock what I've heard in descriptions that other people who've done this have said. It unlocks a consciousness, perhaps.
Definitely.
A new level of knowledge and understanding and integration, which is possible only when you can surrender to this sort of process.
Definitely.
And as a control freak, that's scary, but it's also quite enticing.
Yeah, and I see that in my work at the moment. Every day I see how I'm looking at things differently, how I'm able to make more connections for clients. And in my own life, I look at what I'm doing in my relationship. I look at what I'm doing with my daughter.
But is it trippy, while you're in it?
Oh, yeah, it can be amazing. And some of it is not so amazing. The last ceremony we did a few weeks ago, I had probably about, I have no idea of time in the space, but there was some time of intense physical pain.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then it passed.
Oh, that's not
yeah,
good.
But it passed, and it was just the body releasing something. For some people, emotionally, it's not easy.
I'm keen. I want to try this.
I would say there's no question. And since then, the reading that I've been doing with this, with psychedelics, psilocybin mushrooms, mm-hmm. it's been part of life for so long and so suppressed. And it really is the key to a different way of being in consciousness. And it's not this thing that destroys you, because you literally, you go and have this experience.
No, I don't buy that.
It's 5 or 6 hours.
That's like propaganda that you've been told from when you were a kid about don't do drugs and all that stuff. And I mean, I've lived a life like that anyway. I don't feel like I've missed out. But this is people trying to frighten
you. The last journey was at a center at a healing center in Edenvale. We drove there in the afternoon. We had the experience. We sat around the fire talking afterwards. And at 11:30, we drove home and we went to have a pizza.
Okay, that sounds kind of boring.
Well, what happens in the time in between, hey, you would not call boring. Hey, but yeah, it's amazingly trippy. All right. But it just shows you more.
All right.
And from somebody who, for my whole life, I was really resistant to these ideas and substances.
Are there people who become addicted to the journey, to the ayahuasca experience? Is there a risk of that happening?
I think there's a risk of that with anything.
Yeah.
The substance itself is not addictive.
Okay.
Okay, the ayahuasca is not addictive. Mm. But I think people might become addicted to the process because they're searching for something. But that's the same way that people would become addicted to almost any process where they're looking for, and that's more about the person than the substance.
Sure.
All right.
We know people who have done like 30 journeys in a year. Did anything change in them? No, because they didn't do a lot of growth work. You've got to do the work.
And I want to quickly go to the line. We've got someone on the phone here. Here, go ahead. Hello.
Hi, Gaz. It's Leanne calling. I phoned a few weeks ago to tell you I was also going to do this experience with Nathan. So I did go about 3 weeks ago, and just to reiterate what John T is saying, it is, look, for me, I hated every moment in the sense that, you know, as much as you know, you shouldn't be going in with any expectations, you kind of do subconsciously, and like you, I'm also a control freak. So I saw all the light patterns and a kaleidoscope of all these things going on, but at the same time, I felt so physically ill and like paralyzed almost. I had such a physical experience, like I don't know what was going on in my body, but like it was going through every organ. And all I was thinking was, oh my God, how is this so life-changing for me? I don't need to be seeing all these freaking, like what the shit's going on, all these patterns, because you're hoping for this awakening and it's not happening. But as strange as everything was for me, I did have that immense feeling of about love and just wanting to be loved and accepted in the world and all these weird things. And I think, John T, you'll be able to agree with me, just the experience in terms of the chanting and the drumming and the songs that the guys
sing. Oh, no, drumming? Do they do drumming?
No, but Gareth, it's incredible.
Oh,
they,
no.
They sang.
I'm totally up now.
So, and singing John Lennon, John Lennon songs. Singing John Lennon songs and everything. It's just.
All right. Thank you. With every word you say, you're spoiling it more for me. Thank you. I'm going to let you go now. That's horrendous. What a terrible call. I wish I'd never picked it up.
I'm actually more excited now. I didn't know it was a mini.
Yeah, I knew
musical.
You would be. Yeah, all right. Yeah, what do you make of that? Do you agree with her?
Yeah, absolutely. There are, as part of the team that prepare this, the music really helps you go into that. And whether you engage with the music or not is irrelevant, because your journey could be that you are not even aware of the music at all. But for some people, it also becomes an anchor. It becomes a place that they can kind of come to, that they can hold on to. And the rhythm of the music takes you. I mean, this last journey we did, there was a woman singing. And for the first time in my life, I saw music.
Someone says here, so
sort through the
that
air.
Sounds very good. Someone says, becoming dependent on a feeling and using a hallucinogen is now considered a sacred journey. What a joke.
Well, it's not about becoming dependent on it. And that's the perception people have. You don't become dependent on it. You become dependent on the fucking antidepressants and everything else that you take. I've become strident about this, I have to tell you.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Get off your prescription medicine, you miserable son of a bitch.
That cup of coffee that you just absolutely need in the morning, you're fucking dependent on that.
Yeah. I like being dependent on my coffee in the morning, I have to tell you. So don't interfere with my coffee.
Okay. All right. Someone has some words of advice for me. Gareth, you're a dumbass. Some of us have unlimited voice and data plans. We get charged for dialing 0861 numbers from our mobile phones. But if we dial an 011 number or any other dialing code, it's free of charge and we're not billed.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Do we have an 011 number?
Well, yes, I'm sure we do. I don't know what it is. Innes says, I want to put the Eminem issue to bed. He's washed out and a sellout. Just look at the Trump diss track that he did. It's pathetic. And then this is an interesting one while we're talking about, things we're dependent on. Vince says, I went to my marijuana dealer to buy my weekend shit. As it's Black Friday, I thought bargain time. I was told by him, fuck Black Friday, you cunt. I had to pay and walked away with half of the stuff I would usually get. I must get myself a new dealer. Peace out, Team Vince.
Oh, well, shame,
I did hear of somebody who deals, who was doing Black Friday specials.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
All right, well, listen, Jonty, as usual, it's been, I think, very, very instructive and interesting to talk to you. We won't miss sex talk today. What are you talking about today?
The elephants in the room.
What's
sexual,
that?
The sexual and relationship elephants, the things we don't talk about and the impact they have on relationships when you don't talk about them.
Ooh, sounds fascinating. Make sure you don't miss sex talk today, 10 o'clock. All right, thank you, Jonty.
Thank you, Gareth.
Very good. Coming up next, Jack Devnarain. He's the guy who plays Raj on...
Rajesh
on Isidingo, and here he is to talk to us about a bunch of things. This guy was so interesting. We ended up talking for an entire hour, maybe even a little bit more. So I don't want to waste any time. Get straight to it. Rajesh from Isidingo, you know him as that character, but he's Jack Devnarain. He's very, very vocal on Twitter, and what an interesting conversation we ended up having. Completely unpredictably so. So take a listen to this. Thank you, Jonty. Thank you, Mubs. Thank you very much, Sia. Thank you very much, Amanda. And most especially, thank you to you for listening. You know, we don't do this for our health. We do it because hopefully it's the kind of stuff that makes your life a little more interesting and gives you something to talk about, gives you something to think about, something to cry about, something to laugh about. That's what we try to do. And we're not going to stop anytime soon. So it's all happening. I can't believe it's almost December. All right, Jack Devnarain, everybody. CliffCentral.com.